And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 78. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Silas Lindenstein. In with us today is a special co-host, the return of Joseph Greenhour.
Hello.
I'm back.
You're back. But it's not just Joseph. We actually, this might be the first time I've brought you in to kind of co-host with, and not just as a guest.
I don't know. Am I really the co-host, or am I just a guest that. Host, or am I the host guest? I feel like I'm the guest who's hosting the other guest.
Here's the thing. I have a template that I have to fill in, and one spot says co-host. So that makes you the co-host.
Hey, I'm good. Am I getting paid more?
Yes, you're getting the same pay as Manny for this.
Awesome. I know what Manny gets paid, and now I'm disappointed.
today's episode, we actually brought in another fellow nerd and comedian extraordinaire, Stevie Ray. She dropped in and talked about her cosplay experience. I was really interested in that. I've been trying to get a cosplayer in for a long time, and then I found out she quit cosplay.
I didn't quit. I still do it.
Not in it.
I'm not bulked up for other people's stuff anymore. Okay. It's hitting. It's for me now. It's for me, not for you. It's my costumes.
So we talked about her history with cosplay in here. I have a lot of in common with Stevie. We both perform with theater people. Both enjoy. It seems like a lot of the same nerdy items. We might be related. I don't know. We're finding that out.
You could be your sister, and I'm her grandpa.
I'm going to do the DNA testing.
I just took a DNA test. Turns out
I'm 100% nerd. I don't know. We discuss nerd. We discuss what makes a nerd in here. Good discussion on that. I like that points of view. We talked about the color purple.
You brought it up a lot. I think that was like.
Didn't mean to. It was on my notes.
Is that why you kept mentioning it? You made a note about it.
Well, the first one was a joke about it, and then it was because it was on my brain, and then there was actually an article I wanted to talk about. What else did we talk about, Joe, on this?
We talked a lot about...
We started off with some politics.
Yeah.
Oh, that was unexpected.
I outed myself as a socialist.
Yeah, big shock.
Yeah.
Big shock that Joe wants free stuff.
It's not free when you pay for it with your taxes, buddy.
Okay, Joe, do we need a stint in your heart now?
No.
Is that too soon?
You know, Bernie was never my guy anyway.
No?
No, I'm a Warren voter.
I'm going to Warren. Gosh, I love her.
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett.
You know, I like Warren Buffett too, but if he ran for president, I don't think he'd vote for him.
I was junior high and high school in Massachusetts, so I like the Massachusetts senators. I do like that. She's from Massachusetts. Didn't know if you know that.
Who?
Did you know that?
Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, she's also from Massachusetts? I thought she's from Minnesota.
No, she's a senator from Massachusetts. You're a big fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, whatever. I don't know where she's from. It's not here. I didn't vote for her. I mean, I'm going to.
You're going to. Okay. I'm holding out for Harris. I want to see if something pops with her.
She's a cop.
I don't mind a cop right now when we have a crook in the office.
So technically she was born in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was a senator in Massachusetts.
She is a senator in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
No was.
Soon to be was. Soon to be was.
Soon to be was.
When soon she was to be.
Yeah, we got a little talking about politics and some other stuff. It's fun stuff. I'll listen back later and I'll write about what we talked about. I don't have much of a memory. I'm not eating a lot, Joe. I don't have a memory. You have to eat to have a memory.
You don't really.
No, I think that's science.
Why do all those people who talk about their hard luck stories remember the time they were starving?
I have no answer for that. That is a good, that's a valid point.
Please, sir, may I have some, what was I asking for? I don't even remember.
You just got to give them just enough food. You know what we didn't talk about? I'll talk about the next episode. I wanted to talk about Cafe Vita, but we'll talk about that. We'll wait for the facts to come out, and I want to hear more about that.
If you want to talk about the homeless in the city and what a raw deal they're getting, I'll talk all night long. Because I'm getting really angry at the way people, you know, these are regular people.
Right. Yeah.
Like a lot of these homeless people, like, you know, they want to say it's opiates and said all this other stuff, but a lot of them have jobs and they're just regular people. They just can't afford to live here.
I don't think they mean them.
Well, you can't say who you mean when you're talking about everybody.
It's
there are staggering numbers of people living in tents by the freeway that weren't there as recently as 5 years ago.
Yes.
And what really concerns me is that there's no metric for tracking these people.
Right.
Like if you read the Wall Street Journal or you look at CNBC or whatever, they have unemployment numbers, but that's it. And that's just people who are looking for jobs, and that's just people who've been looking for jobs in the last 6 months. But if you want to track what's going on, there's nothing to track.
I will say this.
It's like those people just don't exist.
If they come out with Soylent Green, do not eat it.
Well, what about the extra, extra impossible burger?
That's a good point. I have an idea why it tastes
the
like
the highly improbable burger.
It's not cow.
It's not cow, but it's cow. Also not vegetable. We're not going to tell you how improbable this meat is. But,
mystery
statistically,
meat.
Statistically, it is very unlikely you're going to eat this anywhere else.
Going to bring back the cafeteria mystery meat.
Oh, my God. We'll get into that next time. I'll talk about that next time. That's a good discussion point. I should bring in like an advocate or something, and then I should find an anti-homeless person. So hey, if you're an anti-homeless person listening to the show, go ahead and message me. Maybe we'll have you on so you can take the the Dr. Evil side.
You
of
and
all
Joe
this
can duke it out.
Yeah,
I'll duke it out with somebody who's anti-homeless. How can you be anti-homeless?
Well, I mean,
that's like that.
You're anti-homeless.
This Bill Hicks. Joke is that I'm in a unique position of being for the war, but against the troops.
You're anti-homeless. You're just not anti-homeless people.
I am anti-homelessness.
Yes.
But I'm not anti-homeless.
Right, that's right.
And I actually think homeless is actually not a term we should be using anymore.
Okay.
Unhoused citizens.
Fuck off. Okay.
Well, look, you know, it's just too
everything.
Easy.
Everything.
It's just become a pseudonym for bum.
That's his.
You got me out of social. Now see, look,
this is
we
getting his starting
fine.
Argument for next time.
We were doing time. Fine, and then you bring up politics, but again,
we were doing fine.
But again, like in the all intro, right. In the intro, I'm getting mad about an argument we don't even have.
We don't even have it.
We don't even have it. If you don't it's like what you're hearing now, don't worry. You're not going to hear it later.
Yeah, Joe's much calmer later. Okay, and then. Yeah, and if you're gonna say if you like the show, a big thanks to Skyline Properties where we record these magical episodes. Thank you so much for using the space. And of course, you know if you love this show, and you are in the market for a residential home
or an orchid, you know you can buy lots of orchids too.
To buy or sell a home
or a cosplay sword
an orchid. Go to SilasGetsReal.com. If you're interested and you can purchase a home and that helps support the show, you can also go to patreon.com/black and a half and become a Patreon of this show. Or if you like friends of the show, you can go to Emerald City
this
Orchids.
Show has no friends.
Emerald City Orchids. Well, we have people in Dominican Republic listening. We have people in Puerto Rico.
All these places I can't ship orchids to. Thanks, Silas.
Why can't you ship orchids?
There's international quarantine rules for
seriously?
Endangered species. Yeah. What? I have an endangered species import permit, but I do not have an export permit.
Wait, they're endangered?
Yeah.
Orchids?
They all fall into categories.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, I know. They fall into CITES Appendix 1, 2, 3.
Meyer.
Even the hybrids that don't exist in nature are categorized as endangered species.
We are so privileged, we don't even understand how rare orchids are.
They're not that rare.
Maybe you shouldn't be letting that one in your window die, then, if they're so endangered. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He's neglecting his home orchids.
Hey, you know
what? It must be so jealous when it sees your Facebook and you're out there watering all these other ones. They're like, what about me, Joe? At home. Take care of me, Joe. That's the voice of the orchid.
You don't call accent. Anymore. maybe. Yeah. Or it could also just be a plant.
What?
A plant. They don't see or read the internet.
Such speciest.
I don't know. I've seen Little Shop of Horrors. I think that they can figure it out.
They might be able to.
Anyway, Joe's a big orchid dealer, so if you like that, well, if you like orchids, go.
You're not plugging it very well at all.
What? I tried.
By the way, there's an
if you really
show,
you like
just, you're an endangered species.
If you want to know more about
last weekend, by the time this comes out, it will have already happened. Hey, can I plug that?
But if you want to know more about Chili's on Pizza, you should also check out his website.
That's true. I do have
JosephGreenhour.com. You know how to spell it. Anyway, thanks to all our guests for coming on here today. Our guest and our guest host. Guest and guest host. They're both guests. So here we are, episode number 78, Stevie Ray.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
The hardest thing about doing working in real estate is a Facebook group that I'm in with real estate agents, because they're all so fucking racist.
Oh my God.
And they don't know it. Like, they're unaware, or they're like,
isn't that
oblivious.
Just Seattle? Isn't that that's, just...
Well, I just feel like they want to... The whole point is to rechange the idea of what you're talking about, right? There wasn't a murder here. Mm. Like, it was... We don't need to bring it up. Right. Let's not talk about it unless you already know about it.
I posted about it tonight. The Seahawks game night that we're recording. It was... Somebody shared a text message that they had. They said, hey, we don't need to see that house on Saturday. You're my father-in-law, who's a retired police officer, told us that area is turning into a ghetto.
And, wow. What?
Yeah. And I said, and the guy, the agent, to his credit, said, are you serious? This was his reply to it. And then all the agents were criticizing him for saying, are you serious? And I was like,
that's kind of
like, like nobody really cares here about the, I was like, well, that's nice coded language.
Wow. But that's, like, see, it's coded.
Somebody argued,
this neighborhood just isn't what it used to be.
And yeah, exactly. And somebody said, we don't really know who they are, so we don't know what they meant by ghetto.
This is Seattle. We know, like, what they meant.
No, we can't interpret that.
It's a national site, so I don't know what state it's in, but I think pretty universal. Okay, and there was, I actually got mad at one guy, and I actually think he was joking. I ended up looking into his profile, but he's like, yeah, we don't know. Was he talking about the, you know, the Jewish ghetto, the gay ghetto, the ghetto ghetto?
The ghetto ghetto.
But when I read that, I didn't read it that way. I read, hey, he could be talking about the Jewish ghetto or the gay ghetto, you know, like serious. Like,
very
serious.
Jerry
that
Seinfeld.
Sounds to me like a joke.
Gay yeah.
ghetto. When I first read it, I was
what's
like,
what's the deal with this
me?
Ghetto?
Well, it turns out, you know what's funny? This is what I love about Facebook. Turns out there was such a thing as a gay ghetto. My gay friend popped on and was like, actually, no, this was a real thing. Everyone was commenting.
I just feel like, it would
gay-
be a scene out of a West Side Story. Yeah. Well, just like, you just hear the snapping coming up.
It's different now because a lot of the gay areas that they ended up getting becoming valuable, and they got pushed out and stuff. And it was at a time that gay lifestyle was not acceptable in mainstream at all. So I guess there was a gay ghetto. Doesn't exist now, but obviously it was just a funny to think, like, this people trying to defend it. You don't know what they meant. You don't know what they meant. Or people saying, if you talk to me like that, I would fire you as my agent. And like, but the dude's kind of being racist right now.
You know, the other thing, you work with the people you want to work with, right?
I mean,
if that kind of thing makes you uncomfortable, maybe those.
It's
hard
because
you need money when you need, you know, your customers. People eat a lot of shit for their customers.
Local That's comics, Todd Kirkwood tried to stand up for what he said was, well, as a he's a Mexican Latino, and he said, I grew up in a poor Latino and white neighborhood, and we use ghetto and borough and everything interchangeably. And so he didn't think it necessary. He thought there could be white ghettos. And I said, nah, they call those farms. and Real America, right? That's the poor.
That
area.
Is the poor. That's a very fair Real point of how they paint
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true. You talk about
your
politicians
average
going,
Joe,
right? Going out talking about the folk, the American folk, yeah. The folk culture.
Yeah, the people in
those
the
real
Virginia.
Grassroots.
There was a gay black country Old Town Road, Old and Town everybody Road. Lost their fucking minds because
actually I haven't read about that. Like if. In that world, is the country world like, do they not like it?
I think some people like it, but I think some people really, really don't like it.
Wow. I think you summed up every song that's ever been written.
At
right?
least every country
no,
song.
I was just talking about the aspect that there is like a gay black country star.
Oh, okay.
I think in the country music community, there are people who really probably really hate that.
Yeah. They won't say it.
Probably. Oh, they're not. They're definitely.
They'll use code. I love how coded.
You're not going to see like, yeah, Waylon Jennings isn't out there on a soapbox, but, you know, he might cuss a little on that side of the urinal bar. I don't know.
I feel like they from watching country musicians talk, like they definitely still speak like openly coded racist, like. What
open code? It's like the Linux of racism.
Like we all know
open what, coding racism.
We all know what I'm saying, right? I mean, that's kind of what Trump does, right? And we're like, well, that's just
Trump
a dog whistle.
The, he's like, so good at though. That's why he's got such a like the whole white base that his whole white nationalist base is because his coded language is really like you know. I'm not saying shoot Hillary, but if you did, you know, like.
Are you political, Stevie?
Well, I mean, I did talk about today about how I'm just astounded that we live in a world that Nickelback is more popular than Donald Trump, than our president. You know what I mean? Like,
but is that astonishing?
It is astonishing because I have literally all those Nickelback jokes. I used to have a bit where I would say like every time that like. Congress would like go in recess like for undisclosed times or just like the government would shut down and be like, what do you like more, Congress or Nickelback? And I would hear like serious like ooh from the audience, yeah. You know what I mean? But today I tell that joke and people are like, Nickelback! Yeah. Look at this photograph. You know, they know
many,
it.
How many, I mean, I don't know. I have to look up Nickelback's stats on how many albums they've sold.
It doesn't matter.
But I mean, but if you're looking at presidency, you only got like, what, 50% of the people voted for each one in the last.
50, like, there wasn't 50% voted for Donald Trump.
True.
It's 40,
we
want to
get there. We want to get there.
49%?
The Republicans are now 2-for-2 on first term presidents that didn't win the popular vote.
George W.
Bush didn't win the popular vote on his. Yeah. He did on his second term.
Right.
But that's because he was an incumbent with war happening.
Yeah, you got a war that happened right
before.
He still
squeaked by. He's
absolutely
barely won that one. You know?
Yeah, no, Republicans have a hard time winning, like,
because they're not the actual majority. That's like, that's the reason why they don't actually represent the majority. They represent a very elite group of power.
Could you imagine, like, if we had a system closer to England, right? Like a house. If the house, that'd be like if the House of Representatives.
We have a house?
But if that ran everything, right? That's what it would be like.
I just kind
if
of
if they were in charge.
But I'm not sure. Doesn't the British system has like the House of Royals and like some of those people are elected and some of those people, they inherit their positions.
Right. But the elected ones, I believe, are the ones that when it changes over but then they go, OK, and they're our guy. They're going to win now. Now they're PM because. Right.
It's whatever the majority party is puts their favorite person up.
It's honestly better. I don't think it's a better way.
I wish we'd just do a popular vote. That'd be nice. I'd like to see more than two parties, too. I'd vote socialist. I'd move to that.
Wow, we're really getting into it tonight. I just think that, like, I don't understand why, like fiscally conservative means that, like, it automatically translates that you can't care about, like, a janitor who works full-time being able to, like, afford health insurance. You know? Like, why does...
He shouldn't have taken that job.
Well, exactly.
He didn't want to get cancer and die.
Right.
He should have chosen a better profession.
He should have not taken care of his family and suffered.
People have the money
that
they deserve, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the thing? People who have money think that they deserve that money somehow. That they're like, because they have it, they deserve it.
Have you seen that Monopoly study where they started off, they gave one person like most of the money and gave everyone else like a real minimal, just like a few hundred dollars, and also gave the guy a couple properties to start. And they said at the end of it, like, he won, of course, and he felt like he had a fair game.
Yeah.
Like, he felt like it was fair. Like, he justified it. And they did this over and over.
I can
like,
tell you that if I was the person they gave that money to, I would be such an asshole. I would be just the worst person to play. I would probably make everybody's lives miserable.
You inherited Boardwalk and Pacific Place, right? And you get the Charleston areas too. Those are just years to start. But you earned it.
And now we're gonna make you president.
Royal boy. Right?
Oh Lord.
Yeah, so people do think that they earn it. They see no difference.
I think a lot of people who have higher, you know, wealthier people feel like they deserve. There's this idea that this is what blows my mind, is you got all these people out there talking, you know, make America great and everything. What's wrong with this idea that we raise the floor, right? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could actually say about our country that everybody has a place to live and a chance at an education and access to healthcare and all these things that, you know, we're kind of fighting for right now. And, you know, wouldn't that actually be like the thing that says our country's better, is that the poorest amongst us has a roof over their head and access to medicine and an education if they want it, right? But, you know, now there's this sort of this idea that, like, in order for me to feel good for being rich, I need to see somebody who's eating shit so that I can really, like, you know.
Do rich people have imposter syndrome? Like, because I'm like, whenever I get money, I feel like I don't deserve it.
I feel like, well, people say that about people who come into money. That they get that imposter syndrome. Or also Donald Glover always talks about, they're like, you know, no one told me how to spend this money or how to save it. People are like, well, what did you buy? And he's like a fuck ton of gushers, you know, like I was just irresponsible. I just bought all this candy.
Yeah.
And it makes you think that, like, you know, like, yeah, people who come into money, they definitely like, they actually have like some training for people like that, or lottery winners, you know?
Well, lottery winners, sometimes winning the lottery is just a whole bunch of stories about it ruining people's lives.
Yeah, that's the whole point of like where there's like,
you're not trained on how to.
There's whole like programs and lawyers and whatever to like help you actually get through that. Whereas like if you come from old money and you've just always been rich, your family's always been rich, that's a whole different. I don't think you would have an imposter syndrome.
No, you would feel like you would actually have an even greater entitlement.
Well, it's all you would know.
You deserve it for being part of this. You know, it's your legacy. It's your birthright.
But it's weird. Like, I feel like I've worked hard for what I've gotten, and yet I always feel like I don't deserve this. You know, like, I just feel like that most of the time. And I'm irresponsible. I can't believe how much Chinese food has been purchased since I started selling a lot of real estate? Way too much. Like, why am I, suddenly I'm like, oh, this is just.
I don't understand. Are you saving or splurging on Chinese food?
Splurging. Saving Chinese food?
Chinese food for me is cheap. I think about Chinese food.
Well, Chinese food is cheap, but it comes in like a large amount. So like you're always spending.
It's cheap for you.
Yeah, because I'll buy it and I'll eat it for a week. It's true.
Exactly.
And my family doesn't.
But is this a
splurge?
I don't understand. Is this
a
splurge?
Yeah.
A splurge or is it money
saving?
Here's
a funny thing. I don't know how you buy Chinese food. I'll tell you how I was raised to buy Chinese food and why I spend so much. Yeah. I don't know why. It's the only food that I feel like entitled for a smorgasbord every time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, well, we need the Kung Pao. I want to get some egg foo young and some fried rice. Do you want some beef and broccoli? Let's like, we have to have like six different things to pick from. And I don't do that with any other food.
I do that with all the foods.
I will say that the only I call Buca di Beppo the Italian Chinese restaurant because
I love that place.
Yeah.
In Seattle, well, they got the Pope room. They got the room with JP.
It's a totally priced though. The pricing keeps you to slow down
But there are huge portions, and gigantic. You have to share those portions.
Yeah.
Or watch it rot in your
refrigerator. They say it's family style, so if you go in there like as a single, you're just like, please give me 10 pounds of manicotti, and I'll just eat this by myself.
There are a couple things in there that you get a lot from.
Stop spying on me, Joe.
It's I not love that where. Place. I've been there a bunch.
I haven't been to the one out here in Phoenix.
That's
there's
what
plenty.
I should have got. You know what I did? I won from my real estate office. I won. So the prize that I was getting was $1,000. It was worth, I guess, it was worth $1,200. So it was $100 a month to go out to eat. So it was like the idea was like go out to eat once a month. Dinner for two once a month. So you figure that's about $100, right? But I was like, hey, so what is this too? They didn't have it all set up though. They just kind of did all these prizes for us to pick from and we're going to figure it out. And so I'm like, well, look, if I go out once a month, I mean, that sounds great, but that means I need to get a babysitter, right? So this is actually costing
another $100
me money,
bucks,
right?
Yeah.
Well, this is like people who win a car and then have to pay the taxes on it. And
so I was like, you know, I just want somewhere. I want to make sure it's somewhere I can take my family, you know? And they're like, what? Like, oh, it sounds stupid. Like Olive Garden, you know? Like, you know, I can take them there. So what they
did. I mean,
did,
when you're there, your family.
Right. So what they did.
With your family.
They took me literally.
It's kind of incestuous, not that I think about it.
Calm down, Joe. Just put a breadstick in your mouth. Hold on to that for a second.
I was given $1,200 in Olive Garden gift cards.
Are you serious?
How many Andy's Mints does that buy you at the end?
That's a lot of Olive Garden.
It is a family of five, though, so we are actually
Mama
going.
Mia, you're gonna have to go to Olive Garden every month now.
Well,
they couldn't at least give you like half of that in Applebee's or something.
I should have done that. I should have said, "Oh, can you give me half of this and half of that?" But no. Well, I also figured
Coco's fucking anything. Man.
I can use Olive Garden.
Do they
have
Coco's out here?
Yeah, I think
there's like three other places I can use these gift cards. Apparently, I just got to find out where.
Well, it's a corporate restaurant.
It's called a Darden restaurant, and so I believe it is Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and Chili's.
Red Lobster separated.
Oh, they separated.
They took their endless shrimp and hit the road.
Tommy Bahama, but your dollar won't stress there. Yeah.
Is there one around here?
I don't know. I'm new here. But there is a
But you know
Tommy
your corporate restaurant.
I do know my Darden restaurants. I got fired from a Chili's
saying?
Actually.
Darden?
Darden is the corporate name.
Corporate name.
Yeah. I got fired from a Chili's when I was like 19.
Does that mean you're ineligible for all Darden restaurants now?
I don't know. I haven't tried, but I would like to.
Is that like when you get banned for entry in the United States and you have to declare it next time you try to come in and you're just like, no, we're not. We saw you had pot back in.
No, like, I've heard people, if you get fired for whatever reason or they dismiss you, you quit and they don't like it is like the CBS networks. Like someone did this on the radio. They left their radio job like fast. And they're like, we don't like how you did this. You are ineligible to work for CBS networks now, which meant like half of the radio stations at least and of their TV affiliates. They would just be banned from there. It was like, whoa.
That's pretty severe.
Sucks. Yeah.
I was reading an article it was an internet article and it was talking about, all of the most soul sucking chain restaurants in America, and it had the top 30 of them, right?
Yeah.
Number one, guess what you think would be the number one soul sucking restaurant in America?
Restaurant, sit down.
Well, yeah.
TGIF?
Johnny Rockets.
Oh,
yeah, and then the one
never
in Pacific.
Been to one.
Oh, really? The one in Pacific Place when it opened, I was the general manager.
You were?
Yeah, and it sucked my soul. That was a terrible.
What makes it soul sucking?
Everything about it is so fake. It's it's this 50s restaurant, and then like they got all the jukeboxes at the table.
You gotta dress up. You gotta be in character. You gotta serve frozen food.
It's all frozen. It's all bag and box.
Is it?
It's all bag and box. The burgers, actually, the burger meat, at least in here in Seattle, was fresh, never frozen meat, which is important.
But that's all they can say is not frozen.
It's not frozen.
Everything else is frozen.
Everything else.
I mean, that part is nice, but it's like, what about the rest of it?
I don't know. We had it was a shitty place to work, and it was shitty people I had to work for. We had a can of olives go missing. Now, you might be wondering what olives go in Johnny Rockets, and I cannot honestly remember. It was a very obscure menu item. We had one can of olives, and I think one of these cans of olives would come in like every 3 or 4 months, and then one went missing. And there was like Olive Gate. It was like this hunt. The regional supervisor. I'm like, dude, it's a fucking $5 can of olives. Just order another one.
Yeah.
He's like, somebody took the olives. We're going to find who took these olives. We went on out. It was like a witch hunt. It was like, you know, this whole thing with the Ukraine. Somebody's, you know, we got to find out who said what about who, the olives. And so I heard somebody.
How many recorded conversations were there with you and the olive together?
Where were you on the night the olives disappeared? Yeah. It was ridiculous, man. It's like, you know, and it's because
you'd say check the cameras, but it's the 50s, so they have none.
Yeah. We had to do it the old fashioned way. First, we blame the minorities.
Called in the PI, the long cigarette drag in front of the curtains. They said the olives went missing.
A stool pigeon.
Okay, Stevie, did you do theater?
I did a little theater, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm just a character, though. Like,
you knew the little Shop of Horrors stuff earlier, so I was like, wait.
So I actually played Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors in high school.
Okay.
And that was like...
Wait. Oh, Audrey.
Okay. Audrey 2 is the plant.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Audrey is the wonderful human being it's named like after. Well, it was funny, too, because, like...
Can you do the voice still?
So the whole time that, like, I was working on the voice, and then, like, last minute, they're like, no, cut it. Like, we're doing something edgy. And they, like, didn't want me to do it. But the whole time, I was running around being like, doctor! You know, like, I enjoyed it.
Did they cut it because it was sounding weird?
I think that they, like...
Wait, what was this, high school?
Yeah, this was high school. The director she kept saying she wanted to do something unique, and I think she just meant like cheap and lazy, you know?
That's unique.
Yeah. Like the whole point is like Audrey is this like dumb blonde, right?
Yeah.
And she's like they were like last minute, they're like, we're not going to buy a wig for Audrey because I'm a brunette. And they're like, you're just going to be a dumb brunette. And I'm like, that doesn't make as much sense,
right.
You know? But you know, you play the part.
Yeah.
You know, like.
So you were a brunette Audrey?
I was a brunette Audrey.
That is kind of weird.
That's strange.
We're going to have a plant, but we're going to do it a little different. This time we're going to make him a wolf.
It's an orchid.
Shark.
You know, the whole time shark. I was Audrey, I did want to be Audrey too. Like the guy who was Audrey too just stood in. Yeah, he just stood in the sound booth and like he would just like have the mic and you'd see him kind of rustling around up there, you know, and like, yeah, just be like, yeah, I just loved everything he had to like, you can do it, like, feed me Seymour. And then like he would just like get so down with it, you know, and like people can't see you doing all the silly stuff. So it's like you can be as fun as you want with your voice, you know. That was just brilliant.
I was production for a production of Little Shop. And it was delightful. It was a high school production. And what is wonderful about that show is casting, the kids you end up casting in it are usually different than you normally would for a show. Like, cause you got the dorky lead, mm-hmm. right? So you have an opportunity to this guy who's like usually not good with women. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got. We got like a classic one come in. And
oh, really? Then, in theater, you say?
Yes. And then we got the guy who was Audrey too, the voice. He looked, you know, he was a bigger guy, but he had a nice soul sounding voice and go really deep. And it was like, and we're like, oh my God, we had no idea. He was just this other dorky guy. Right. He was the bigger dorky guy, not the little dorky guy. And then it was just wonderful them getting this opportunity to be the stars of the show. It's a wonderful.
I liked high school theater for that reason, because you always had these people that were whatever they were in their high school hierarchy. But then you put them on stage and you put a light on them and all this other weird stuff starts coming out. Parts of people's personality, the thing that there's, you know, it's always there, but you just never see it. It's a lot of fun to watch that come out of people.
Yeah.
I'd say, okay, in agreement with what you guys are saying, but I ditched theater.
Yeah.
Because stand-up comedy was so much cooler. Like, the amount of practice and rehearsing and memorizing you have to do for theater versus, like, stand-up comedy, so long as you know your set, you're like, oh, I just show 15 minutes before I go on? Got it. This doesn't take, like, months of, like, effort and creating a costume and, like, eating right.
Yeah,
fuck that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's
the better you are, the funnier you get.
Hey.
It's like, well, that does work in comedy, though.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to my point. Welcome to the point.
We got a little jacket.
Inverses in comedy.
Wait. I mean, but the thing is, like my tight 4-minute set is the accumulation of
years.
The last 6 years.
Right? It's a performance, yeah. Right? But you know it now. You wouldn't have to rehearse it for an entire month for 30 minutes to 2 hours a day.
Not that much.
In full costume.
But whenever someone's going on TV for something, they are running the set for a couple weeks.
Yeah, you're running the set for a couple of weeks, but that's 4 minutes every couple of weeks, and you don't have to show up 30, 45 minutes in advance to get in costume.
You're running that set like 40 times.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know it.
When you're looking, when you think about theater,
you know it.
Or even like beyond that, like the opera, you know, where you have these giant.
You have warm ups,
sets, and
vocal teachings.
Yes, and there's so much that goes into it. But you also have to remember that stand up comedy is the redheaded stepchild of all stage performances.
I don't know. What do you call improv then?
Oh,
well, that's a thing worse than that. I was actually in. I did improv in high school. There was no stand up in high school, but I was in. We had an improv troupe.
I feel like improv.
That's a progressive high school.
I don't know. Like I'm torn. Improv can lead to.
I didn't say good. I said progressive.
You can make more You can make more money doing stand up at a very amateur level, I think, than you can improv. But I feel like improv is a easier leap into video film work and stuff, because they're always looking for improv when I'm out.
It's a valuable skill. Improv is also weird because it's a team sport, right? Stand up you do by yourself, and in stand up if you do great, then it's all on you, and if you bomb, it's all on you. But in improv, if you do great, you share it with all the people in your group. And then if you bomb, it's the other guy's fault.
But then everything else, do film or TV after, that's all collaborative.
That's true.
So they tend to like film improv people.
But then stand-up people also know how to write.
Yeah.
Writing is such an important part. Like, you can't just bullshit your way through every funny scenario. There's only one Will Ferrell. Like, everybody else has to, you know, write something.
Do I need to start listing all the big improvers now? That made it.
Well, it's not a matter of if they made it, but like, did they like the it that they made, is that improv what they're doing? Like, I would really say that really the only improv that I know about that regularly happens is honestly Rick and Morty. The amount of
it's the skill set of improv,
right? Well, and you can have that like spit fly. I will say in some movies, like, you know, in a lot of like almost generic comedy movies that are just trying to sell tickets, not even like be the big name.
Yeah.
Like comedy. That's when they're just like, all right, we're just going to keep the camera rolling. And Melissa McCarthy or Jason Bateman, you're just going to say whatever comes into your head for the next 15 minutes. You know, that's how they get the Steve Carell, like, oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
But at the same, like, it is a skill, but at the same time, that's not what they're doing for their careers. They're still writing. It's not an improvised like job that they're necessarily doing.
Yes, but they do. I mean, but they're shooting these things and
it's good to be funny on the fly.
They're being able to improvise scenes.
It's like never going to hurt to be funny on the fly. Yeah.
That's a skill. That's a good skill. But I think in the long run, if you're really trying to find something that's bankable, money in the bank, writing.
Yeah.
You can write stuff.
Writing.
That's money in the bank.
Well, that's where all those improv people go, to writing.
Well, a lot of them don't.
A lot of them do.
Yeah.
I mean, look, because
Chris Kattan's come up with a whole bunch of great stories lately. And
But where is he? What is he doing stand-up lately?
That,
yes. Stand-up, so not improv.
Well, but he's really not even doing stand-up.
All right.
He gets paid to do stand-up. But I'm like Steve Carell, Tina Fey.
Tina Fey writes. She writes a shitload.
I mean, you're talking about one theater in Chicago, though, you know?
Well, yeah, but that's where I think Saturday her greatest Live asset is Tina Fey.
The Pineapple Express gang, they're all...
Yeah, but those guys sit down and write all that stuff.
Yeah.
They don't write it all.
Yeah, they write a lot of it.
They write that.
I would say that, what was it, Knocked Up was pretty improvised. I think
they still have to write the story. And
if you watch Zach and Miri Make a Porno, which is like a bunch of, like, it's all written. All those jokes were wrote.
But you can watch DVD outtakes and you see how many different variations they do. They do A to B.
Yeah.
It's A to B. And they have a version that they wrote, but then they do a bunch of different versions of it and they pick the best.
It's like hip hop.
Yeah.
People got their writtens and then they, you know.
How long have you been doing stand up?
So I've been doing stand up for about like on and off for about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
It's been like there have been times where I've been super consistent about it, times that I haven't been. Cosplay took over a large portion of my life for about 5 years. So stand up really took a backseat during that because it literally was just a second job for me, creating things for other people for cosplay. And so actually it was almost, I kind of took a step back from cosplay because it became such a job and not something I enjoyed that like, I was like, man, I miss stand up. I miss writing music. I miss writing down shitty poetry, you know, like just something that was creative that wasn't for the sake of like someone else, you know, like I didn't have time for it anymore. So I took a step back and then I started doing a lot more stand up.
So wait, I'm curious how you got into. So what was you? Were you a cosplayer or were you making cosplay outfits for others?
So, both. Cosplay is like, I say it's such a weird verb because it can mean so many different things to people. Cosplay can be literally anything to like, you know, those like tuxedo shirts that people cheesily wear at weddings. Like people do that at conventions with like a Joker shirt,
right?
You know, that's technically cosplay.
Yeah.
You know, like people work really hard. They'll put on the makeup or whatever and like they're selling it, you know. But as far as what I did for cosplay, I created the costumes for both myself and other people. What I was more known for was creating like large scale props and weapons from video games and comic books. I found a way to make them really lightweight and what's called con safe, because like now with all these like weapon rules.
Yeah.
This is like I found a method that just like no matter what, it's going to get in. And like I said, very lightweight. Which was also helpful to a lot of disabled people who couldn't always, you know, like lift, you know, the same amount of like big, heavy metal or wood.
That 10-foot sword.
Yeah, exactly.
Metal.
It was actually the first design I made for a disabled person. He was someone who was disabled on his whole right side. And I remember even like drawing up the sketches for what he wanted. And it was like this 5x2 sword. And he's like, make it bigger. And I was so worried, but the first time he lifted it with his left hand, I was like, yeah, I did it, you know, like it felt good for me. Like, I think that was really what dove me into it. I'd be traveling and speaking at panels, talking about like how we make what we make, how we do what we do, and then also doing the actual commissions for other people. So, and then when you're doing like cosplay, oftentimes you're competing with your own costumes.
Yeah.
And so like you're often in groups or, you know, traveling in groups. And so the ideas were just like, well, what's going to win the competition? What's going to get the judges' attention? You know, like, it's not like, what do you want to do? I want to be this nerd, you know? And like, now I feel like I get a lot of recognition for just jumping in a Spider-Man suit and running around like a dork. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's something I want to do. And that's something that's fun for me, you know? But yeah, cosplay just got a little too all consuming and it made it very difficult to do other things I was passionate about.
Were you one of the pros, like when you apply for a badge, like pro cosplayer?
So I technically never received a pro badge. Oh, okay. If we're gonna call me out on podcast, not a pro. I have a lot of pro friends though.
Okay.
But it is kind of a weird tier system. But more often than not, I was getting invited to other panels. Other conventions to do panels at their conventions. I was invited to Emerald City a couple of times before I lived here. Pretty much every convention that was in Arizona, I was going to. Okay. Completely comped because you're a local and you're well known at that point, you know.
So when you got into it, you had been doing stand up before that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what got you into the cosplay to begin with? Was it just going to conventions?
I was always a nerd. And then I remember thinking too, like, I had had a couple of friends who had, like, I had made costumes before, and I had a couple of friends being like, you should go to this comic book convention and this anime convention. And I remember telling my friends at that time being like, I think only weird people do that. Like, I don't think normal people go to those places. And then I actually had a friend once who was just like, I have a free ticket. You should come. This place is cool. So I went. It was Phoenix Comic Con. So like one of the big ones now. But at the time, it wasn't what it is. And when I went, I felt like Jack Skellington in Nightmare Before Christmas. You know, I'm like, what's this? What's this? What's this? You know, like I was so excited about everything I saw in all the costumes. And then the next Phoenix convention that they had, it was a 4-day convention, and I went all out, like four costumes. Wow. Yeah. I was just like, I don't know what about it. I was like, I saw it. I loved it. I'm doing it forever. Like, I was sold. So yeah, I got stuck on that for a hot minute.
Oh, that's the best when you get bit by the bug, when something grabs you and it just like, you know, now you're drawn in.
Did you was your stand up nerdy?
I wouldn't say that. Like, I would say that my stand up was actually not very nerdy. It wasn't until, it wasn't until the last like year or so that I really started writing like nerd jokes. I had some nerdy jokes, but I felt like they were, they weren't about like comic books or video games or anything. It was a lot of like ones and zeros and, you know, I mean, out here in Seattle with the tech crowd, that kills.
Yeah.
You know, people here get that stuff.
Talk nerdy to me. And then you're just like 1-0-0-1-1-0-0, you know, but yeah, at a place like Phoenix, Arizona, there's no tech out there, you know, like people aren't really getting those jokes. And, I mean, I guess with the like MCU and stuff that's like really coming out these days, it's very different. But it's only been recently I've shifted my
comedy. MCU has drawn so many people in, like either into or back into, like especially older people who maybe read some of those comics back in the 70s and whatnot.
I think it's that. And then their kids are getting to experience it now, you know, something they can share.
It's really drawn like the success. You can't say it's an outside culture anymore because when you look at how many tickets Marvel's selling.
No, you know what?
It's just not.
Because my brother pulls the, I totally love Batman. I'm such a Batman fan. I love Batman. Okay. He loves 3 Batman movies.
But that's okay. That means it's okay that he loves Batman.
Right.
But that doesn't make him
nerd. Like
no. That does make him a Batman nerd. He's allowed to be.
He's a Christopher Nolan Batman.
Okay, and fine. But like, that's what my whole point is about. Like, cosplay is what you make it. You know, like there are so many different layers of nerd. And like, I used to feel like that superior nerd of like when all the movies first started coming out. I would be so pretentious about it, being like, I would literally be the person announcing like, you know, in X-Men 3, the Phoenix arises. This is not how Jean Grey actually tackled everything. You know, like you want to critique it, but these movies are made for whoever it grabs. And like just like if they love that, like they're still a part of it. They're still a part of the universe. Like, I don't think that you necessarily have to read the comics, because I did used to get upset about that when I'd be like, you know, people are like, oh, I love Marvel movies, you know, and it's like, OK, did you read any of the comics? No, you know. But so what? They're still part of the universe, and that still makes them nerdy.
I think that that's okay, but I think as long as it's like you don't have to read whatever it is.
I don't think you have to read the comic.
Nothing makes me crazier than why. I never read the Harry Potter books, but I hate it when I'm watching. I like the movies, okay? Now, when I watch a Harry Potter movie and people are like, oh, like this. If sports to me in the Harry Potter world, sports don't make any sense. This game Quidditch doesn't make any sense. And then they have this Wizard Olympics where like everybody jumps in the water and then people are just looking at the top of a lake for an hour.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what it's all happening down there. Yeah. Like, you're just all standing
up. NASCAR was boring.
Right. This is worse than fishing. This is like worse than fishing.
It's like the French, the Tour de Force. They just go by you and you're
Tour de France.
This is Star Wars. Yeah, I got it. I got it. That's the 501st Legion.
No, the Tour de France. They just they ride by you and you're like, all right,
that's it.
That was it.
Yeah, but they ride a bicycle all around the whole nation of France. So you get to watch.
If you're standing there,
everybody in France gets to watch them go by, like the whole nation, just to see 26 or however many people.
26?
Like, I don't know. How many people are in the Tour de France?
Thousands.
Okay, fine. Thousands.
Thousands.
So everybody in France gets a chance to see those thousands of people. But I shouldn't have to read the Harry Potter books to understand what's going on in those movies.
Right.
Like, if I have to read the book, then that's...
My thing is saying you're a Batman nerd versus everything. I think if you're a nerd of something, you get really into that one thing. And it's fine if he doesn't want to watch any other ones. But... I think it is like, do you want to check out this other thing about Batman? No, I don't like this other
thing. Adam West, who's that?
Yeah, I get that. I also just feel like if you love it, then you love it. Like, I don't want to gatekeep.
I'm a color purple nerd.
I don't want to gatekeep, like any part of something that, like, interests people. Because my thing is I'm obsessed with Sailor Moon. I have, like, Sailor Moon everything. I have a Sailor Moon tattoo type shit. Okay. And like a lot of times, like, people see like my key lanyard or like keychains I have or like my jacket, and they see that it's Sailor Moon and they'll be like, oh, they have to stop me. They're like, oh my God, I love Sailor Moon.
That's a touchstone. That's something. And I'll be like,
yeah, I love Sailor, you know, like I've read the comics, you know, I've seen all the shows and the adaptations and the live performances, you know, and they're like
Sailor Moon on ice.
They're like, yeah, there is. And they'll just be like, oh, yeah, I just, you know, watched the animes as a kid. I haven't seen it since I was 7, but I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be like, fuck you. You don't know. You don't know what the Star series was like because America didn't air it. You didn't hear about Uranus and Neptune like being real lovers because in America they're cousins, you know, like. But at the same time, it's like, well, you love this. Like, I'm just happy that I can share this with you, even though I know that there's absolutely no way that, like, you know it as in-depthly as I do.
Right.
That's okay. I'm glad that you love it.
Yeah. I get that. No, I get that. It's funny because I just have a whole bit on this. Like, about...
You're not allowed.
Do you want to run your bit?
Run your bit. Run the bit.
I can't wait to do it. Now I'm excited. I'm like, well, okay. So somebody came to my house for Memorial Day, and they were like, they brought me a Star Wars T-shirt because I don't know how they got a hold of it, but they were like, oh, it was like a housewarming gift, and she walked in because she knew I like Star Wars from Facebook. We don't see each other a lot. She went into my house, and then she came back out later. She's like, oh, I didn't know you. We're obsessed. I was like, what are you talking about?
Get out, like, of my house, Karen. Artwork.
Like, I was like, what all? She's like, I just kind of thought that was a thing you were talking about. Like, she didn't think, like, I really meant
it. You have a Millennium Falcon, like, cheese board.
I have two.
You'd be like, come in.
Okay, well, I have artwork up and stuff. Well, I was like, what you think? Like, I think she thought I was posing. She just thought I was just like, I just talk about it a bunch. But I have artwork on my house, like nice artwork of it.
And he walks the walk.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, no, I wasn't joking. She's like,
this be is... careful, Karen. I'll show you the Star Destroyer.
Your lack of faith. What is it? I find your lack of faith. I don't mean, Karen.
Okay, but this is how, I guess, how nerdy I am. when I first started doing comedy, some people started talking, saying like, oh yeah, I heard you're the guy who does these, all the Star Wars jokes. I was like, I have like one Star Wars joke. I don't know where this is coming from. I talk more about race and stuff. Anyway. So then when people started getting the sense I was just a Star Wars thing, because I would play with a lot of stuff at open mics, but I was like, okay, I got to do other stuff. So I really tried that. And I was like, oh, I have some nerdy stuff, but not, I'm not like super nerdy, like not that much. And then I sent my, some guy was looking for, he's like, I need some, I do kind of a nerdy show, doing it underground. It's like a Sunday night. I'd like somebody with a, you know, a little bit of nerd material. And I'm like, oh, I'll send it in. I was like, I sent just my standard 5 minute in. And then he had selected me. And he's like, yeah, man, everybody who sent it in just sent a tape. They're like, you were the only one who sent a nerd specific tape. And I was like, I didn't. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I just sent a tape. I didn't even think it was that nerdy. But apparently I come from such a point of view of being nerdy.
It was
even
obvious.
Normal talk.
It was
nerdy. I'm like, I wasn't nerdy in that. It was pretty cool. I thought
so obvious.
That's so funny. But I do the, I don't know if you've heard, I do the Real Nerds of Comedy show frequently at Emerald City.
I do know that.
And then I've been doing, got some other cons, actually. Some of people have been reaching out to me.
What cons do you have coming up?
Some of them, there's some new things. Some like, I gotta send it in, the app for one. But it's been hard to find, you know, I'm trying to find the right people and stuff that want to. You know what stinks? Like, I've hated when I've asked people if they want to do, like, oh, do you want to go to Emerald City Comic Con? I'm like, they're like, yeah, yeah, I want to do the show. And then they end up booking shows the other night around it. And then they have plans during the day and they don't really go to the convention. And I'm like, I'm getting you a free pass. I want you to actually.
But they're not nerds. They're comedy nerds.
Well, but they're nerd. I mean, from their sets, they're into this other
stuff. I think they're probably thinking of it like I used to think of it. You have to have someone drag you there and be like, no, it's normal now. I swear.
Well, I feel bad because I know there's some people
like,
who
there's
are,
a food court.
These are valuable tickets that I know a lot of people.
They are valuable.
Yeah. So
I'd
like to get them to people who actually want to also go experience the con. Like, it's like, it's a good paycheck. And then
my ex-wife got a professional's pass because she was doing a continuing legal education on how to represent comic book artists.
Really?
Yeah.
She did a panel?
No. It was like a you know, CLE, a continuing legal education class. It was a class just for lawyers.
Oh.
At Comic-Con.
Really?
Yeah. And it was how to represent people in the arts, specifically comic book arts, and the legal challenges you might, you know, but it came with a 4-day pass, and it was a professional's pass too. So it's like got a different color on it or something.
Yeah.
But man, walking around with this pass, people were like, "Where'd you get that? Who are you?"
Oh, there's a warning this year about if you hand out your if you sell your panel pass of being banned, you'll never get
really.
Another one. Yeah, if they catch you selling your panel pass, you'll be.
Oh, your panel pass. That makes sense. I was going to say, if it was just an all event pass, who cares? But your panel pass is serious stuff. You can get behind.
I collect those.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not selling this.
Sometimes I'm going to call myself out right now. Sometimes they'll give you just instead, like it's like a little flag that you put, like a little flag you put on your pass, you know, sticks on there.
Okay.
And like sometimes, I'm not saying what times, I've gotten extras. And then I go to a different convention that I don't have a professional or media badge for. And I put that sticker on there and I just flash it and keep walking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty crafty.
You know, you do a couple of conventions, you get a couple of tricks.
When you did theater, would you do theater again?
Would I do theater again? I'm not against the idea of theater again. I mean, I think I have like enough energy for it.
Theater again sounds like a company for
theater
like a
again.
Retirement home, right?
You're right. It's all the, it's like all
come
the
do theater again.
The
we're
boomers.
Do Charlie Brown.
Have you had the shredded wheat? Would you have it again? Would you eat it again?
I used to think that all theater was good until I saw a play that was just two elderly people monologuing in a nursing home about how no one visits them. And I was like, not all theater is good.
Not all theater.
Not all theater.
I'm not even visiting these old people in the second half of the show.
Yeah. I understand why their kids don't visit.
I'm going to drink my bag-in-box wine on the road.
Did you guys hear, you know about the music Color Purple?
Mm-hmm.
Color Purple. Yeah. Have you heard the news?
Also a book.
Yeah.
Did you read it?
No.
You were a fan. You said you were a fan.
Yeah.
You didn't read the book?
You're banned from the fandom now. You can't be.
I like the movie, but I'm not. My stepmother read the book. I heard all about it. I was like, oh, I'm not going to read that. That sounds depressing. The movie's bad enough. Makes me cry every single time. I literally can't watch the movie. If I get to the end and I get to the two women clapping together, I start crying every time.
Oh,
I can't. Like the whole movie comes back. I watched it like 12 times on HBO when it first came out on HBO.
You hope it's not on Netflix, because then you just constantly
just
watch.
Be crying.
You'd be like that person who watched like Lord of the Rings for over 300 hours.
Right. but they send like the Color Purple.
Yeah.
So there's the Color Purple production. I think it's in. There's a revival going on somewhere like Alabama, and they fired. The woman playing Sicily in it, because somebody from a Hamilton production found old tweets of hers that said stuff like homosexuality isn't natural, and and then a bunch of stuff like that. And so when they became aware of it, the production, they're like, we can't have you in this, because I'm not sure about I don't know the musical, but I guess they commonly cast LGBTQ roles in there, because I guess it's very from the movie. See, that's the problem. I saw the movie version, and that time it wasn't a very pro
anything
gay environment
or just anything.
There was some hints at stuff, but I guess so, like, you can't be representing this. And so she's suing the production now, and saying she can't get cast because of this, people are not casting her, and because it's her religious beliefs.
Oh.
This is all based off her religious beliefs.
Yeah. She's like, defamation.
She said, I just said everything. What I said wasn't just me. It was the Bible. I was just saying what the Bible says about it. So here's a question. Do you think she should have been fired for old tweets that she had? She hasn't, like, she's not refuting the tweets. She's actually going,
well,
like, no, that's what I believe.
But like, Sarah Silverman has homophobic tweets from back in the day that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah.
That, like, should she never be able, like, she's a huge advocate for the LGBTQ community.
Right.
And, like, it's like, okay. So we, like.
Yeah, but her job is also, I mean, she's a comic, and sometimes when you make jokes that.
Well, as a comic, not everything sticks.
Not
everything is funny.
Just like some actor in a,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that there is a difference in entertainment and their tweets. So it's like, you don't.
She doesn't hold to that's her belief, right?
She also has never really outwardly said that, like, I'm sorry.
Okay.
As far as I know.
But, like, I would guess that she would say, I don't hate. Or no,
it's very obvious, but you know, it's just, I mean, it,
but this other woman, she's actually saying, no, I believe what I said.
I mean, that's up to the discretion of the people running the show.
Right.
I think if you
don't want to make a cake for a gay couple, then, like, fine. Then no one will give you money. Like, I don't.
She has every right to say it, but then they don't have to hire her.
Yeah, exactly.
So they fired her.
Yeah.
Fired her for it. And so she's suing because of discrimination. Now people won't.
Wrongful
hire.
Termination is the hardest thing to try to nail. And I think in the arts, it's going to be even harder, because, you know, you have a representative art form. The person's not just working for you. It's not like something like, you know, filing papers that anybody could do. You have to fill a role and do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard.
Well, I think it's hard for her to say, I'm not getting work because of that. Well, actually, they can.
Yeah, but she's also probably not getting work because people don't want to hire homophobes.
Yeah, yeah. She's in a environment that may have a few homos of.
I mean,
you would think in theater.
I don't know that I've ever heard of gays in theater before. I mean, you know, it's the same thing as like if somebody says they don't like a particular race and then somebody of that race is like, well, this is my restaurant. I don't want to serve you because you said you don't like people in my race. So get out of my restaurant. Like, people have a right to refuse service.
Yeah. Especially if you have no shirt or shoes.
Okay.
And they have to have a sign, though. It's got to be a sign. Yeah, a sign. There's no sign.
I've actually been afraid to get kicked out when I bring my kid in. Sometimes he doesn't have shoes on. And I'm like, I wonder if they're going to give me, I forgot to put shoes on him.
What? Your kid doesn't have shoes?
Well, before he was walking. He didn't know.
Oh, before he was walking. So you're talking about like infant.
Well, but he just started walking like when he was like 16 months.
His kid's not very big. He's big, but he's not.
He couldn't hold himself up for a while. So he was like 15. I can hold him up.
His kid's not even 2 yet.
And also, like, I have actually, because around the house, he doesn't wear shoes. And I've been like, there's been times I'm like, we gotta go.
He doesn't wear shoes. Is he wearing a shirt?
Yeah, he does.
If you're serving him in the house and he's not wearing a shoes and shirt, he's just gonna learn to grow up and go into places without
one of those like a Titan from Attack on Titan, or he's just like those like silly looking little toddler baby monsters.
I have ran him out the door when he didn't have shoes on and just got him into the car seat, like, and put him in, and then we left, and I was like, oh crap, I didn't put shoes on him.
Shoes for my child.
Sometimes I let him walk outside without
shoes. It's better than, I would rather you miss shoes for a child that's not really walking than like diapers.
You know what? That is the big, like, I did that yesterday. I totally forgot the diaper bag.
You're a vet parent. How'd you forget the diaper bag?
Because we only have one diaper bag and it goes between my wife and I so much that I'm like, yeah, no. And I'm driving. I was like, well, I just changed them. Like, God, I hope this.
Oh, that's rolling the dice.
Right? Nope. Yeah.
That is rolling the dice.
Well, you're far enough away that you don't really, you realize I'm like, okay, that's, if I go a game, back, it's another 20 minutes.
That's a game of craps.
Literally. Ayo.
McRib's back.
I'm excited.
I'm doing the whole 30 right now, so I can't eat it. It's back on. It's on the 9th. They're releasing it.
I know the day sticks around for a couple of weeks.
Oh, please.
I remember the debut of the McRib. That was some big shit. And every time it's come out since then.
It's amazing.
It's Black Christmas. It kind of is. I mean, I'm not black, but I am sitting in
the chair. Are you vegetarian or anything?
No.
Okay. I saw this. I saw a making of it. Video, because people were making fun of it, and so like it's actually not badly. It's like, no, it's pork, and they showed the machine that they press it. It's like it's a mold that they make it to make it look like it's grilled and stuff.
Yeah, but those chicken nuggets too. They're all made in a mold.
Yeah. The claim on it though, like what they were talking.
I like how they're atomizing the meat and then just reconstituting into whatever shape they want it to fit.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Joss Whedon had a whole episode about how like there was this like meat byproduct in a like fast food place she was working at, and then they found
a Buffy fan too.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
And then we found out that it's like all plant-based, no meat at all, and like people like love it,
It's Impossible Burger.
Yeah, it's basically that. I'm just excited for the day that we get there where we're like, yeah, it's chicken. People just believe that.
Hey, have you had the Impossible Burger?
I have not.
It's the first time I've wanted to go to a fast food chain in years.
I had the Burger King Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
I'll say it didn't taste like a regular burger. I'll say it tasted a little different, but I wouldn't have been able to place it as what it was. Like, it definitely looked like meat. Unfortunately, I think I know the taste of the Whopper so well that I was like, oh, it's not the same. But I think if a normal person would not.
I know someone who got like a double patty with an Impossible Burger and then a regular burger patty. And they said that like it was pretty hard to tell the difference like together.
Oh, yeah. Texture wise, it's.
Yeah.
It's
textbook texture.
Textbook texture. are you. What about how? What do you have feelings about the McRib?
I have no feelings. I've never had a McRib.
You've never had a McRib?
I've never had a McRib. Good.
We've got a date. We got to work that out.
Oh, field trip to the McRib.
Come with a 18 pickle days. On a long bun.
Hey, now.
You can have my pickle.
18 days from now, I can have one.
No, will the McRib be in stock?
Usually it does last a month.
So I only have 21 days to join the 27 club right now. So if
21 days to join,
if it kills me.
What? Oh, I see. You're trying to, if you're going to go out, McRib's a good way to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a good last meal. What?
27, all the great rock stars died 27.
Oh, are you
Jim Janis and
21 Jerry days Jordan, out
and Amy Winehouse and a whole bunch of people.
Kurt Cobain
died at 27.
Oh, so what did you say? You're a musician too?
I do play some shitty white girl ukulele, yeah.
You play ukulele too?
Plays ukulele.
Holy shit.
Hey. You're a ukulele. We could play some Garfunkel and Oates.
I'm not that good. I learned it for.
So you play shitty white girl ukulele too?
I play shitty.
Yes.
Mixed race.
No, you're a white girl. You play in ukulele, you a white girl.
It is a pretty light comedy.
Didn't you do that whole like Star Wars Frozen thing?
Well, I did
I bought that album.
That makes you pretty white.
I paid for that album. I actually gave you money for it.
I have an album. I turned all the songs from the musical Frozen and made them about Star Wars. And so I did an album. But I needed to, I was playing at the shows. I had a local comic playing guitar for me. But then I was like, well, I wanted to be able to do these out on the road. So I was trying to learn how to play guitar. I was going to learn to do that. And someone else brought up, you know, you can try doing ukulele. It's kind of, you know, it's a comical instrument anyway. And then I started learning and I had fun. And so I was playing a lot until the kids started grabbing the ukulele from me. And so, but now he's stopped and they'll just let me play. So I'm going to start trying to pick it up more.
If you eat some of those McRibs, you can be that fat guy
You have your own shelf to like play the ukulele on.
Whenever I go to Hawaii and those Hawaiian bands, it's always the biggest guy plays the smallest guitar.
Yeah.
It's like
and has the most beautiful voice.
So, yeah.
So is that part of your comedy? Is it part of your comedy?
No, not at all. Actually, I've honestly kept like everything separate as far as like music, cosplay, and comedy. I've always kept it very, very separate.
I just saw you do a cosplay set the other night, though.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that it wasn't until I came out here that I started mixing the cosplay and comedy. And it was just kind of this one thing of like, I've even gotten kind of some shit for like my Instagram is a collective of just like my personal life, my stand-up comedy, and then also my cosplay. And so many people are like, well, you should have a different promo account for all three. But the people in comedy love my cosplay stuff, and the people in cosplay love my comedy stuff.
You need to be you. It needs to be a you thing.
And it's so personal. My Instagram handle is my gamer tag. You know, like people are like, where's the Stevie Ray comedy? I'm like, well, Stevie Spade has always been my gamer tag. Why would I identify as anything else?
Right. No, I think people like to put people in boxes a lot. Yeah. And that's one way. And I think more like people are interested in, actually I got recognized in the theater community. I was like, I commented on something I never comment in the theater pages, and I did on something, and someone goes, and I mentioned in there, look, I know I'm not really into the scene anymore. But this is my thoughts on it. He's like, not in the scene, but I know you, don't you do a superhero comedy show thing? And I'm like, it's a nerdy thing, but and I was like, it was kind of funny. Like, I mean, so I also sell real estate.
Yeah.
A lot of things. But people, I mean, they're attracted now to a person, whatever they do. Felicia Day, I think I couldn't imagine her having a different account for each of the things that she does.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you're not a celebrity yet.
Yet.
But once you get there, it's more about it's all the interesting things that you do.
Yeah.
Right?
No one's going to like, I feel that when I tried to separate all those things, that it was definitely, it almost felt overwhelming to have that many hobbies and things I was passionate about. And now just kind of, yeah, like molding them together and like, just like doing whatever flows, you know, like the, whatever is grabbing people and their attention at the time, then like that's, it's been really popular and it's been really fun and creative.
And I don't even think like people comment to me a lot like, oh, you're into so many things. You do so many things. And I'm always like, I just think the things I do may be interesting, but I think if I talk to you for 30, 40 minutes, I'm going to probably find out you do a lot of things. You probably play racquetball.
Mm-hmm.
Or you do, you like to vacation.
You read.
I like to read books.
Lake Champlain every Thursday. No, I think a lot of people have a lot of different hobbies. They just don't think Monday. Of them. Just because a lot of mine are performance based or something.
I don't know. But a lot of people just go home and watch Netflix nowadays.
That is true.
That there is a hobby.
A lot of people who it's just have a hobby. Job and then they go home and they watch their Netflix and they go to their job and then every now and then they pull out a, you know, a happy hour.
Yep.
And then once in a while they go on a Tinder date and then they go home and
they go, that was nice. Oh, what a good month.
I remember when I went to like I went to like the, my 10-year class reunion and the, this one.
Recently, guy. Huh?
This is an old memory. Yeah. Silas is talking about an old memory.
I remember this guy going, yeah, you know, every April I go, I take the cruise down to this place. Every winter I go to this place. And I looked at it and I was only 10 years out of high school. And I was like, your life sounds boring to me. That's the same trip every year to the...
There's a lot of people that don't really want to do change or something different. I have a friend who's, you know, his the thing he's always saying is that what does he always say? Is that consistency is the spice of life.
Oh Lord.
Because he just wants to do the same thing. He just, you know.
Contentment gives me panic attacks.
Hey, you know, I like to change it up too.
What do you say? Contentment?
Contentment gives me like real panic attacks. I don't like things that are just like the same day in, day out.
Is that being content or consistent?
I say it's like being like in a cartoon. You know what I mean? Like just being like every day is the same. Like or a video game where like you talk to the NPC and they just have the same three phrases that they spit back to you.
Life feels that way sometimes to me. It's weird, especially you go into like a coffee shop and they just, you know.
It feels like a Monkey Island game.
Yeah.
Every time I go to the CVS to like do like a candy binge, you know, and I like show up and I just like drop all my candy boxes on the counter and then they're like, oh, a movie night, huh? Like, no, I'm a fat ass. I'm eating
emotional
this.
Emotional problems.
Yeah.
I need this candy. Get out of my fucking face.
Yeah. This fifth of vodka, too. Yeah.
Oh, God. I have to, you know, it's like the boss. I used to have a managing broker here. Like, I was in once working on something, and he walked by me, and he said, working hard or hardly working? And
oh,
I was
Lord.
Like, I'm going to fucking stab you in the eye. I can't believe you just said that to me. Like with earnest, right? I was like,
there are some phrases that people still say as if they made them up.
Right.
People still say these things as if, you know, it's clever or funny.
Did you see that that thing around? I didn't realize it was such a white thing. Well, things that white people tend to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that. I, you know what?
Is a very big thing. I can tell you as a white person. Where they're just like, yeah, where they're like, you know, they'll eat a couple of chips. They'll be like, get these things away from me.
Yeah.
My grandfather, like he is known to have the same, like if you go out to eat with him, it is the same speech he gives start to finish every night of like the waitress will come up and they'll be like, you know, like how is everything tasting? And it'd be like musty. The waitress would be like,
he goes,
yeah,
he'd
be like, what? It'd be like, must eat more. But every time the man eats out, he says that joke. But he says like the same 15 jokes. And I wish I could say it's five, but it's not. It's just like, it's literally
so
the same thing.
He's just running a set.
When they said,
how does she become a comic?
God, how do you know?
None of this makes any sense.
He'll put the check down and be like, we didn't order that. Yeah, he's like looking at everybody waiting for the laugh. We're
so
like,
I don't know, like, so white people are just like dad jokes, right?
Basically,
I saw that thing that you posted and I was like, I said all of these in the last 72 hours, every one of them. But
doesn't everybody say these? Like,
no,
that's the thing.
I've heard just all white of people. These, I didn't, but it never occurred to me that it was a white thing.
Well, that's what
I was like, oh my God, I don't know any black people that have ever said this. It didn't occur to me until
that's when I was, I had to take a long, hard look in the mirror. I was just like, oh no, I, not only did I say this, but it's all,
I was like, I didn't know those were white jokes. That's so awesome.
But I, you know, I'm kind of like
a culture.
Yeah, I guess. I'm kind of like your grandpa. I have like a bit that I run bits on my waiters. Like I have like a
of course a you do. You're my grandfather.
Yeah, kind of.
You're my grandfather. You're running bits on waitresses, those poor ladies. Well, you better tip them double.
You guys want to know one of my best ones is if I get clam chowder and they bring it with that little bag of crackers, you know?
You better tip me to hear this joke.
Sorry, I'm not gonna, I'm a good tipper, but I won't. I'm not tipping you. When they bring you that little bag of crackers, I'll say it as deadpan as I can. I'll be like, excuse me, sir, but I ordered clam chowder and you served it with oyster crackers. And they always look at me like, is this guy fucking serious? And I will not crack. I will hold that gaze until one of us dies.
That's how you get someone to spit in your soup.
Well, I've already got my hands on the soup by this point.
You hope. Hope you didn't order an entree.
But yeah, that and then, you know, I had to
stop. Are your kids barefoot in this story?
No, they're not. I put shoes on mine. But yeah, I've told us I had to stop doing it. Because, first of all, it never goes over well.
Right.
It doesn't go over well.
Who'd have thought?
And the only one that's laughing is me, and it's on the inside. I don't even get to outwardly laugh, you know? I'm only laughing, and it's not really
Grandpa.
You know, funny.
Yeah.
Put your cardigan on. It's cold outside.
That's awesome. I will admit, too, I do work on some bits. I don't mean to.
I run bits on regular people.
When I'm Lyft driving. Like, I've sometimes, I'm like, well, we'll be talking about something. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. And so then the next ride, I kind of make the conversation guide that way. Right, I want to see if this is funny.
Can
I was like, is
this
actually,
joke?
I'm like, is this actually a bit?
Let's run this again.
Oh my God.
I ran this joke on 27 rides over the course of.
I think it's a good joke. I can't make it to an open mic, so I'm just going to do it here. This is great.
This is like the cash cab of open mics. Yeah. Wouldn't that be interesting, though, if you pick someone up, you're like, hey, welcome to Comic Cab. You get 5 minutes, go. If you're funny, we take you to your destination. If you bomb, we kick you out.
Kick you out of the car. That would be great. You know, that guy was who did the cash cab is a comic.
Yeah.
And it would be really funny if he had like an America's Got Talent type show where he had people run their bits on him. And if he didn't like, you know.
I have been tempted to try to pretend like they're on a show. I'm like, hey, do you see the cameras? See the cameras? We're on. You just entered Laugh and Lift. All right.
Laugh and Lift.
All right. So, and hey, then, we're going to just start act like it's a whole show.
Then
the whole
just
time.
Run the bits on them.
Ah, be funny. Hand him a mic. You're in the Laugh and Lift. Tell
Wouldn't
me
it be
joke.
Great if it was like one of those like old school like toy Tyco little like microphone and speakers, you know? You're like, all right, speaking to clearly into the microphone, please.
Give them something to work on in the ride and something to do so that they're not worried about dying
or the drunk people. They won't be able to tell.
That's what I
How do you
about.
Stop someone from worrying about dying?
I guess
say
you
knock
know,
it off.
I guess you just show them Silas's stand up and then they're worrying about it. End. Like they want to die.
I guess
now.
It will take. Yeah. That, well, that's what I'm saying. Of like, yeah. Lyft ride or not. I don't know. Isn't that an existential worry that we're all thinking about?
Dying.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do it all the time.
Yeah. See?
I was in a scary Lyft like a couple months ago. This guy was not
My day job is disability insurance. Do you want to know how many cases come across my desk that are the people who are in like Lyft and Uber accidents?
I'm sure
really?
It's a lot.
Yeah. Wear your seatbelts, people. People think like it's like a taxi cab, so they don't wear their seatbelts and then they get really mangled.
I wear my seatbelt in taxi cabs, but
Right. Yeah, you should.
I don't understand why. I wish I had. I want a button in my car that'll start because only the front one will start beeping, right? I want one so that they'll buckle up, and because I'm like, you're a fucking adult. Except I do think about like, oh, if we're in a bad accident, they're like a missile and hit me from behind. That'll piss me off. But I figure if it's that bad, a lot of problems are happening. I didn't realize there were that many accidents.
Well, like, I mean, if you think about how many Lyft rides and Uber rides there are now versus before, this wasn't even a thing.
That's
before.
Why I stopped it's driving statistics. For a while because I was like, my odds are, I've driven a lot. My odds are creeping up. Something's going to happen.
I mean, that's just.
You feel like if you drive more, you're going to get in an accident?
That's the nature of the game, though, I feel like. It's like, I don't know, workers' comp, you know? Not for the person you injure.
For that, except they don't have workers' comp.
Yeah, because your contract.
Give you workers' comp, do they?
Absolutely not. No.
No, I just try to get from their insurance how much we lose money. But in the meantime, you still got to pay your mortgage or whatever, you know? So.
And there's no insurance to cover you. Yeah. Unless you have Aflac or something like that.
I mean, I've got insurance.
Fun fact, my company handles the employee disabilities for Aflac. I just think that's funny. They don't do it themselves.
They don't do it themselves?
They don't do it themselves.
Huh.
Just a fun fact.
It's like Aflac for Aflac.
That's literally what we are.
You're Aflac for Aflac.
We are.
Even Aflac has an Aflac.
Yep. That's us.
Is it Ben or Casey? Which one are you?
You know what's funny is the company I work for is actually called Matrix. So I always say I work for the Matrix.
Oh.
I'm just, I feel like I'm very Trinity.
Especially since Ben and Casey weren't in that.
I know.
Do you think I can get, can anyone give me grief for, I just actually realized when I made the poster today, my next Woody's comedy show, which is tonight, by the way, tonight, you're listening tonight. Come on out.
Is that the one I'm hosting?
Am I going tonight or what?
No,
maybe.
No. Then I'm on the one. I'm on the week after.
I booked an all white show. Yeah, it's not that year's. And I was like, I didn't even realize that.
You should get Manny in. He's really good for diversity.
Should I get mad at myself?
Why don't you just
you can't yell at me, right? Because I'm brown. Like, I can get yelled at for booking an all-white show.
I yell at you all the time.
I mean.
Not because of your bookings.
It is Seattle, though.
More because of your cooking than your booking.
Hey.
I gotta make you my gumbo, though. I make a good gumbo.
Yeah, you know, I'm worried about that.
What?
But,
what? I haven't said anything weird about it.
Yeah, but I know you're going to make it.
Do you make weird stuff?
No.
Well, yeah,
we
did
a whole show on it, but it wasn't.
Silas and I have a bit of a food rivalry.
Yeah, I caused his divorce through my.
You kind of did.
Really?
He did.
Joe, I never told you about the bit, the thing we were going to do.
Food.
We were going to do this bit, and I was like, well, I'm glad we didn't fucking do that. It was like, I had this gag that I wanted to pull on you.
Oh, no.
What? I was going to come over one time when you're on one of your flower shows. And I was going to get like a photographer and do all these photos with us eating like pineapple and jalapeno pizza.
I would have thought that's hilarious.
I know. I was like, oh, I got to do this. And then I'm like, I wasn't sure if she'd be able to keep her mouth shut, though.
She would have done it.
Yeah, but I didn't know she'd keep the secret until I made the calendar.
That's hilarious. She would have done that for sure.
Well, I talked to her about it. She's a little drunk, but it was like, oh, she thought it was a great idea. We're going to do it. And then, you know, I was like, then you didn't stay together long enough for me to pull it.
Well,
thanks a lot.
If you're gonna troll me, you gotta do it while I'm still married, I guess. You can't wait until I destroy it. If you're gonna destroy my marriage, you gotta wait till I haven't done it on my own.
I wanted to feed your son the pizza. Would have been great.
Don't you feed my son pizza?
I never wanted this pizza for you, Michael. You may not know. I gotta renew it today.
But my tabs are expired. Did you know that?
I bought Joseph's domain name. I bought his domain name and made it a dedication to
We got an argument over jalapenos on pizza.
And I pay for it. I've paid for it for the last
four
years.
And he bought josephgreenhour.com and he put a thing on there about how jalapeno pineapple pizza is the best pizza on earth.
That's the sponsorship,
It's a one-page site just dedicated to that.
I mean, that's pretty brilliant.
And I was like, it's the best $10 I spend every year.
Of course it
never
is.
Never knew this again.
I've never been punked so hard in my life, honestly. It makes me laugh, but then I also get a little angry every time I see it.
Josh Chambers was saying it was really, because I messaged him like after I did it. I was like, okay, I gotta, dude, I just made this, and I gotta figure out how to deliver it. like how to get this out there. And then I posted it up. And then apparently Joe messaged him. He's like, I got to figure out how to get Silas back. I don't know why he was our go-to.
I haven't figured out how to do it either. Although I did get you a little bit with that pizza, because you did order that pizza to your show. That was at the Daryl show.
That was wonderful.
He ordered this pizza. He said he's ordering pizza for everybody. So he gets it with jalapeno and pineapple on it. But he was on stage when the pizza guy showed up, and he had me sign for it. So I left the guy a really big tip. Like, really big.
He didn't really.
It was big enough.
it was funny, like, of all the people to open up the pizza. It was him that got it. Because I was just, I just ordered it to do the joke. I had never ordered pizza for a
He just did it just
before.
To get my goat. Just,
I know. It all worked
I
out
ended
so
up having
wonderful.
A whole Pizza Summit show, too. The Pizza Reconciliation Summit.
You did it too soon. You did it too soon. We need to wait longer. This needs to be like more of an NWO.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
We should do some more of those. You know, it's good with that.
Yeah. That was a fun show. Our cameraman left town.
Forever.
Forever?
Well, yeah, he hasn't come back.
Oh, is that forever?
It has been so far.
Time is an illusion.
Who knows? We'll draw him back to Seattle. Well, he wasn't from here, was he? So,
no, he was from there. Where he is now.
He's from there?
He went back to there.
So what brought you to Seattle, Stevie?
That's a good question.
Dartboard, job, anything?
No.
I'm guessing an airplane.
No. I drove up here from Phoenix in 2 days by myself. Well, I had my dog with me.
Where you're from?
Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah. And then
I didn't know people were from there. I thought they just retired there.
Yeah. Well, I had a joke.
That's a place you go to, not a place you come back from.
Yeah. It's people go there to die.
Yeah.
Like that is the thing. And there's so much old money that's there, but it's like people in retirement homes. So like they're not even spending it. They're not contributing it into any industry or like business.
They just go to die. From Phoenix. And they told me that they were a marketing manager for the hockey team, or they were involved with marketing in there. Mm-hmm. And they said it was the hardest thing because everybody there was a fan of a different team. Mm-hmm. So like they said people would come, and all the locals were all rooting for the visiting team.
Yeah.
Because everyone from Chicago retires there.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Everywhere from somewhere cold, basically, which is where hockey's popular.
I'm still having trouble with this idea of a Phoenix hockey team.
Well, they're from what? So technically, I still live there. We bought the Winnipeg Jets and we just changed them into the Phoenix Coyotes. And ever since we bought them, they just.
Coyote's such a funny hockey team name.
But, you know, we got a ton of Coyotes out in Phoenix.
LA has a hockey team. San Jose. They don't have no
Wayne
natural
Gretzky.
Ice there. Yeah, but there's no one. It's the same as having it in Phoenix. It's just,
it is basically the same, just
we're
hotter.
Have a hockey team.
Yeah, we are. We're going to have an XFL team, too.
Which both of those are kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah. I think the XFL is a little more mind blowing. I didn't know that was happening at all. And suddenly, Vince McMahon.
I thought that didn't it here. Already happen once?
Yeah, and it failed, and then they had to.
Is it still the wrestling?
Oh, it's
guy?
A fascinating. Do watch the 30. You know the 30 for 30 or for 30-30. It's a ESPN.
Is this that diet
series.
You're on or
no?
It's it's a podcast.
No, it's a TV show, ESPN TV show, 30 something.
30-something. That was on NBC in the 90s.
Well, there is a 30 for 30 podcast.
Okay. Well, this is something else. But it's 30 for 30.
And it's about,
it's about
sports.
It's something. Anyway, it's an ESPN documentary series, and they do it on the XFL, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating. You got to watch it. I'm going to recommend that to everybody. All right. Okay, sorry. So you just came up? You'd been to Emerald City Comic Con, but
yeah, it's an ESPN podcast. Sorry, I had to get this.
Okay, I believe you. so they do a podcast version.
They do like almost true crime, but about sports. I just watched. I listened to this whole thing about the like Donald Sterling, like for the LA Clippers.
Yeah,
but it's a crazy Case. It's a 5-episode series.
Are you a sports fan?
No.
Okay.
But
but you're a podcast fan. So.
I do like basketball. I'm a Phoenix Suns fan, obviously, which, you know, we're the worst in the league, but I do love my people.
Okay.
But yeah, coming out here, I actually had just like in the last 18 years, I had been here something like 20 times.
Okay.
And I just kept coming to the conclusion of like, I want to travel to see other places, but I know I'm going to keep coming back here. So why don't I move?
Oh.
And I was really lucky. I sat down with my boss and I literally had told him like, you know, I like my job, but I feel kind of claustrophobic in the state. This is the only thing that's keeping me here. Like, I'd hate to say it, but I guess I quit. And he, like, without even flinching, he was like, you can keep your job, just telecommute. And I was like, I'm gone.
That's nice.
Bye.
That's cool.
I took off.
And now you live in Issaquah?
I live in Issaquah.
I love that.
Issaquah.
So you're like, I'm going to move to Seattle.
I'm going to move to Seattle, but I don't want to be too close to the middle of
it. I like it quiet.
I want to live all the way up by...
I was raised with old Fall people, City. Okay? I can't just like jump into the noise, you know what I mean?
You're like, what's the whitest part of Seattle?
I'm always like, what are you doing out there?
How close can you get me to the Sasquatch country technically in the greater metropolitan area?
Where do the buses not run after 9?
That's true. Hey, they run, they have one at midnight.
I like Issaquah.
They got a good theater there. They got a good theater.
They got a good theater.
Theater.
You go to your theater. You teach at the Issaquah Theater?
Yeah, the kid stage.
Uh-huh.
In the summers.
I'll
teach improv.
I used to teach kid acting classes in Phoenix at this place called Valley Youth Theater, and we did summer programs.
Because I'm starting to feel...
I'm a little too white. We're all related here. Yeah, no, but I did really enjoy like those, yeah, like the little kid acting classes for sure. That was a lot of fun.
I did 2 years. I did actually like 3 years. Well, I did an original Harry Potter musical, and then 2 years in a row we did an original Star Wars musical, and like original, like they wrote everything.
Right, that's
cute.
It's
great. Ended up being more of a facilitator, and then doing other classes there too, but. I love it. It's a great summer gig. I had to take this year off for the first time in like 7 or 8 years because I didn't have daycare taken care of for my son. And then I didn't realize until later I could have just had my daughter watch that week.
Hey.
The weeks that they go on. And I was like, crap. But it would have been a lot of my daughter for full days, you know, for a week. She's only 12.
I mean...
They're little kids. I mean, it is like
I was taking care of myself from 11. We'll be fine.
With little kids?
Well, I don't think it wasn't until I was actually, let's see. I was 14 when my first brother was born and 16 when the other one was born.
Oh, huh.
But yeah, it was pretty much like, oh, you're the built-in babysitter.
Yeah. Oh, that's what the
my dad did that to
built-in
me once.
Built-in nanny.
Although it was a half-brother from a later marriage, but I went to visit him one time, and he was like, hey, welcome to Los Angeles. We're going to Las Vegas. Here's your brother. He'll be. He needs this much food this new time. I'm like, what are you talking about? I just got here.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, he straight up left me with my kid brother while he went to Las Vegas for a couple of days. When I went to go visit him.
Shut up.
And then he turned around and like as soon
it's
as
like,
I got
good.
There,
keep an eye on your brother. Peace out.
Basically
thank you for coming.
That's
good
happened.
To see you.
Well, Stevie, I'm so glad that you've moved here. This is great. I'm glad to have you.
I'm glad to
I think
be here.
You'll be a beacon of light to our.
Aww.
Little,
wait till you hear all my shit jokes.
Oh,
and my
great.
Dick jokes.
Awesome.
That's its own beacon.
It is its own beacon. It's more
needs.
Of a beacon of darkness, but I'm glad that it attracts you still.
It means you're getting
I like to
right
say
vitamins.
When like people are always talking about like I'm a unicorn. I'm like, I'm more of a dark horseman of the apocalypse. Like it's probably me.
That's you. Dark. Well, if you're as long as you're dark. Then
I'm like a minotaur, but half a penguin.
Yeah. Half penguin.
I don't know.
That's
you're talking
funny.
About mythological creatures. I'm.
You wants to be a half person, half penguin. I'm just imagining like Pan by Danny DeVito.
Which half is the penguin half?
Oh God, it's definitely the bottom half because I want to see you waddle. Yeah, with your glasses.
Waddle with the best of them.
Oh, that'd be funny.
I'll waddle with them.
Where are my orchids?
All right, so this is a great. Here's our This was our white and a half episode.
Right. Now that I'm there goes your diversity ticket.
No kidding.
Subbing in for Manny is no. I'm not bringing that the same color to the table, but that's all right. Doing the best I can.
Well, we appreciate you. This was our affirmative action episode.
Okay.
All right. Black and a half.
Live long and prosper.